Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Let's go!
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chef, Chef, Sports City Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cat,
woo! That's a kid.
All right, welcome everyone to the NFL free-for-all NFC South division review off-season. I am your host, James, Mr. Controversy himself, Greenwood, and with me this week I've got a pair of chefs chomping at the bit to talk about this. First I'm going to bring in your boy from the 703 and the 203 and several and the 412 and the 412. Yeah,
it is the 412. It is the 412. What up, Greenwood, man? It's a pleasure to be here with you guys on a NFL free for all, man. NFC South edition. You got four teams to break down pretty in depth. So let's get to work, man.
All right, sounds good. And also with me is my co-host, as always, Rodri from the great island of Wales.
I was going to say, I haven't got a number, have I? Or is there any number for Wales? Is that 6,005?
Well, welcome back to the show, I guess. Welcome to your show, our show. Yeah, so I know you wanted to bring up a couple of news topics before we get started into the division. So I'll let you take that over.
Yeah, bit of breaking news. Adam Schefter, serious. Looking forward to getting your takes on these as well. I mentioned a bit to James on the way in. I'm going to start off with a bit of a tragic one, but he's fine. Jalen Toyman, a rookie out of Pittsburgh. Built in a similar fashion to Aaron Donald, good rookie that, you know, later on draft pick, right, I thought he could do really well. James, we mentioned him doing the draft build-up. He was shot four times while Spinner's visiting his aunt in Washington this afternoon. He's in good condition. They're all exit wounds, so no arteries, nothing bad. So he's in a good situation, but obviously just the shock and all of it. And Drew Rosenhaus is the agent reporting on this, so that's a bit bad. He's in hospital, but he's in good spirits and he's okay, which is just kind of a minor miracle before shots. So just a bit of a sad story there. And then Carl Nassib, the Oakland Raiders defensive line, the first active NFL player to announce that he's gay. Pride Month, so. You know, he said he'd been carrying it on his chest for the last 15 years, so just happy to get it out and get the news out. And just, you know, it's probably changed his life, to just a weight off his shoulders, and what a courageous thing to do. Also donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project, at Trevor Project Suicide Prevention, organized for the LGBTQ youth. So I think that's a great donation as well. Very courageous. So just two stories going in. Let me know what you think about it.
So I'm going to start with the young man who got shot. And this is why background checks are, and I want to keep it, like, obviously it's a tragedy, but it's why background checks are the biggest thing when right next to the health, the medical reviews, looking back on their past is always a big thing for teams when they're looking into new prospects. And when we see guys slip, they slip because of things that go on in their past. Now, I don't know if this particular situation has to do with his past or if it's just a freak accident. I'm not sure what's going on with it. It's too early to tell, but hopefully
in the wrong place at the wrong time, apparently. Innocent bystander just visiting his aunt in Washington. That's all he said. And wrong place, wrong time. Look, he was talking to him today, Joe Rosenhouse. He's going to be okay. As he said, that's all that matters. We're thankful he's okay. He will make a full recovery. Vikings are apprised of the situation. Tyman, who is in a car, he was in a car when he was shot. There were superficial exit wounds, Rosenhouse said. Tyman does not need surgery. X-rays were negative. The anticipation is he will make a full recovery. That's the report. So take from how he will.
All right.
Do
you have anything to add for that situation?
You know, honestly, man, I mean, I live literally 10 minutes from where this whole situation went down. And unfortunately, this happens far too often, you know, in the district and in other places. You know, wrong place, you know, wrong time. You know, so I'm glad that he's going to make a full recovery and, you know, his life isn't in jeopardy and to be able to resume his NFL career and everything like that. But this is a classic case of just being aware of your surroundings and being aware of what's going on. I don't think there was any, you know, malice or ill will or anything like that. I don't think he was involved in, you know, any type of extracurricular activities, according to everything that I'm reading from Schefter here. He was just sitting in the car, you know, and he just got popped, you know. And the thing is, this is close home to me because, again, I live 10 minutes from there. I'm in D.C. regularly, you know.
I thought you did. I thought you did.
So I'm there on a regular basis, you know, hanging out with friends and, I got family members out there and I got, you know, different activities that I'm involved with as far as youth or, you know, sports or whatever. I'm playing softball tournaments and semi-pro football out there. And so, again, I'm in D.C. a lot. So this could very easily just have been me. You know what I'm saying? Y'all could have been getting the phone call. Hey, by the way, Sirius is, you know, and he, you know, I'm not out there doing dirt. I'm just minding my own business. But unfortunately, this is the type of situation that we live in. This is the type of world we live in, you know what I'm saying? You really got to keep your head on the swivel. And so, again, props to him for being able to make a full recovery. And I hope that whomever shot him, you know, and they're able to catch that guy. And, you know, whatever needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roger, you brought the topic. What do you have to say about it?
I thought he was going to be like I don't know if he's going to play. That's all I'm thinking. If he can make a full recovery and come back, that'd be awesome. But I thought he needed the off season pretty much to get into the league, because just because of his size, he's like a John Randall, Aaron Donald build that I think's got a massive upside, and he's got the talent. So this is it's just tragic. But if I could ask you something, I spent time in D.C. Like, it's like you've got the Capitol, right? You've got the Capitol buildings. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of violence and a lot of stuff that happens just blocks away from all that, right? Is that right? That, like, a lot of bad statistics happen and like, a lot of trouble happens just blocks away from the Capitol building and stuff in that area?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got Capitol buildings, you got museums, you got obviously the White House is down there. So, you know, depending upon, you know, where you're at politically, you got all that going on. D.C. Mm-hmm. is like literally the mecca of everything, you know, that's like the heartbeat of the world, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you got all kinds of different stuff that's going on down there. And a wrong turn left, a wrong turn right can have you in a situation where, you know, like this gentleman here, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, minding your business.
He was visiting his aunt, you know.
Exactly.
Quick question. I'm wondering if you've seen the difference since after the pandemic, whether you're seeing more violence and whether you're hearing more of these mass shootings or just shootings in general, because I hear the mass shooting numbers out there at the moment are crazy, right?
You know, honestly, not as much as you think. But with the pandemic and everything, a lot of the, I don't want to say gang banging, you know, has subsided, or if you will, but unfortunately, you know, D.C. is a tough place. Like, my best friend, you know, lives in the mecca of where a lot of the bad stuff happens. A lot of the drug deals go on down there, a lot of the drive-bys, and my best friend lives right smack dab in the middle of that. So when I go down to see my best friend, I always got to keep my head on the swivel, understand what's going on. But, you know, due to the pandemic and everything, you know, crime and things like that doesn't stop, you know. So,
no,
unfortunately, it's not really an uptick. It's not really, you know, a downswing. It's just stayed pretty much even keel.
Okay. Interesting, man. That's good.
So we'll quickly move on to Carl Nassib, which I think is interesting because I haven't heard of a NFL player or prospect coming out since Michael Sam did in 2014. And a lot of people were of the belief that Michael Sam fell drastically in the draft because of him coming out as gay during the whole process. And I mean, if you go back to the shows, Brian, I think believe Sam to be like a fourth, fifth round prospect that ended up falling all the way to the seventh. Not something completely unheard of, but it's definitely interesting from a Carl Nassib perspective. He's already in the league. He's already on a team, but does this change the outlook that he has as a future as an NFL player? I would hope not, obviously, but there are people who are still in the league who believe that kind of thing is something that's going to lose the locker room, for example, or things of that nature. Which I don't believe that, especially with the youth movement in the league nowadays. Like, the league is full of young men, and younger people tend to be more accepting of homosexuality in general than the older population. So I think it's right for him to come out. I think he should be proud of who he is, and if somebody has a problem with that, then they should take that up on themselves, I guess. Rodri, I'll let you go next on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy who was well loved by the NFL public and by the public in general from Hard Knocks. I think he was a classic character on that with the Browns and the Bucks, and he was, you know, he's a guy who could double your money. You remember that guy? So I mean, he's a bit of a character. He was known as a bit of a character, and I think that's going to help him. But like you said, you know, there are some dinosaurs in this league, some old whites, to be honest. They, when they are, it's the older white generation. I think like the owners are the ones who's going to be the only ones with an issue with it. I mean, don't tell me like people haven't been in high school with like gay people that they, you know, they bother with and they're friends with. If you're not doing that now, it's 2021. If people are not doing that, then you were the bad guy. You were the one who was an outcast. You know, it's not like it was. I just think it's kind of a non-story to me. To be honest, the only issue I got is out. You know, is the locker room thing. And I mean, but that's that. You know, there's players who have played through that and have been through that. And I think we're just so far beyond it now. I think it's I'm just happy for him that he hasn't got to carry it anymore. Carry the burden of knowing that itself and wondering how his teammates will react to it. But, you know, I think the only people who are going to have an issue with it are, you know, like up in the front office, to be honest. So I can't see, especially because he is a good player. I mean, if he's not doing much, then, you know, there's a chance of him getting cut and that, you know, that shouldn't be an issue anyway. But he's a good football player. And I tell you what, he's not the only one out there. I think we're going to see others come forward and say that they're gay as well. Because, I mean, statistically, it shows that there are more gay men in the NFL. I mean, in the English Premiership, rugby over here, ice hockey, basketball, you know, I think it's 2021, like I said. And I think others are going to come forward now and just follow his path. He's given confidence and, you know, he's done a brave thing. And I applaud him. I do.
All right, Sirius, do you have anything to add to this before we move on to the Atlanta Falcons?
You know, honestly, man, I was talking with Villain about it a little bit ago, and, you know, he and I honestly share the same sentiments. You know, if that's what he is, that's who he is, and, you know, so be it. You know, I think ultimately his play on the field is going to ultimately write his story. And if people want to make his sexuality or, you know, who he loves or, you know, whatever the case may be, a story, like you said, James, that's on them. But ultimately, as long as you're able to do your job to the highest level of your ability and you're producing on the field what you do off the field, as long as it's not illegal, is a non-issue. You know, I'm pretty sure, like my man Rodri said a second ago, that there are others that are in the league that, you know, are dealing with this very thing, but have yet to come forward because there's such a still, even in 2021, a taboo and a stigma on homosexuality and people being comfortable in his or her own skin to come forward and live their truth and live their life, and gaining the respect and acceptability and you know, honor or whatever the case may be from peers in their public. I know personally a couple of people who are involved in the NFL right now who are bi or who are gay or whatever the case may be, and they have not come forward because of that very thing. So not only am I understanding where NASA is coming from, I know a couple of people firsthand who are struggling with that, and times they may or may not come forward. But that has a lot to do with the fact that their livelihood, or they fear that their livelihood or the way they provide for their family, is going to drastically be affected by this so-called taboo of a situation. So, again, salute to him for having the courage to come forward and come out. Honestly, in my opinion, it's nobody's business, in my honest opinion. Yeah. You know, things of that nature are nobody's business but you, yours, and, you know, whoever you're in a relationship with. But, again, we live in such a twisted and weird society where, you know, I'm in a heterosexual marriage with my wife, but no, I don't need to broadcast that over, you know, Instagram. I need to make an Instagram post about that. But the moment, you know, some other friend or some other person, it comes out as gay, they feel the need to make a social status about that. And, you know, that's just, I mean, we've come a long way in 2021, but that still shows that we have a much further way to go because, again, it's his business. We don't even know that. We don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? Can you tackle the quarterback? Can you make plays on the football field? Can you help the Las Vegas Raiders win football games? If the answer to that question is yes, then the rest of the stuff is irrelevant.
No doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we're going to make the transition to talk about the NFC, South. The Super Bowl champions came from this division. But first, we're going to start by talking about the Atlanta Falcons, who went 4-12 last season. Obviously, the headline of this offseason is going to be the Julio Jones trade that recently happened, where they moved him to the Tennessee Titans in exchange for a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick, a second-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year. The other big highlight coming from this was the drafting of Kyle Pitts. By most respects, people consider him the best tight end prospect in years. Definitely rated higher than TJ Hockenson, who was probably the last top 10 tight end prospect around. And this is a position, the tight end position, that has consistently been kind of degrading in the league. A top-tier tight end, any fantasy football player will tell you, a top-tier tight end doesn't exist. I mean, there's three of them in the league right now. Like, and then that's it. Then there's a huge talent gap between number four and, like, between number three and four, there's an immense talent gap. So Kyle Pitts could become a, especially with the vacated targets of Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts has the opportunity to see a lot of action very quickly in the for the Atlanta Falcons. Richie Grant, second round pick, will probably start right away for the Atlanta Falcons as well, because their entire defense really needed an upgrade. Every single individual player on that team, on that defensive side of the football, could have needed an improvement, especially after they lost DeQuez Denard to free agency as well. Other bigger moves, Mike Davis is now at the helm at the running back position, as they got rid of Todd Gurley, who never became what he once was in with the Rams. And I'll also throw in Jalen Mayfield, tackle guard prospect, kind of a tweener. Probably is going to be sitting the bench, but he has that versatility to play all the positions on the offensive line, so that it'll be a great depth hire for them, and probably will end up starting a little while later. So, Rodri, I'm going to start with you first. What do you think about the offseason moves as far as the Atlanta Falcons are concerned? And if there's anything that I missed, feel free to add that as well.
Well, I like what you said with the draft. The first three picks, I agree with. I think they'll all have an impact. Also, Drew Dorman from Stanford. Yes, son of Mr. Dorman from San Francisco. That Dorman, that's the family. I think he's great as well. Jalen Mayfield and Dorman, I think both of them would be great. I love the offensive line. I like what they've got there. Hennessy and Caleb McCreary on one side, Drake Matthews on the other side, Lindstrom, and then, you know, the other guard position ends up for grabs, and then, you know, maybe you can grab that. But yeah, you said about Kyle Pitts. Love the pick at four. He's a great pass catching tight end, you know. But let's count him. Let's see how he blocks. I don't think he's going to be blocking anybody off the ball anytime soon, you know. But as far as a pass catcher, then he was very much worth the pick. And I think just because of the evolution of the game, James, he's going to be Aaron. I think he's going to be a good target for Matty Ice early. But let's be honest, as far as the franchise goes, they left it on the field against New England in that Super Bowl. As far as I'm concerned, they haven't come back. I mean, they after that game, it creased them as a franchise. Arthur Blank hasn't seen the difference there yet. Terry Fontenot is a GM. Arthur Smith's in from Tennessee Titans offense. He's in as a head coach. Dave Ragone's quarterback is their offensive coordinator, and they bring in an old Patriot guy, Dean Pease, as the defensive coordinator. So they got, you know, people in places now. Frank Bush is there with linebackers, so they got that tough. You're going to see better play out of those linebackers. As far as the roster goes, James, I mean, Keanu Neal's gone, like you said. Darcus Dennard's gone. They just completely overall in that the old team basically. But they got a lot to prove. I think it's just a matter of attitude as well. Like the Jacksonville Jaguars, just a change of complete. I think just the surroundings and the environment. I think they were just lost in that losing habit after the Super Bowl. I think it really creased them. I think the running back position is interesting. You mentioned, I know Todd Gurley's gone. Good shot on Mike Davis and those quads. Jeez, he's got some big legs on him and a powerful back. But I do like Javion Hawkins from Louisville. Very quick rookie. Caleb Huntley as well. Both of those just really, really quick, fast on their feet, and both undrafted. So how they got those two, I don't know how the Louisville kid was undrafted. That was unbelievable to me. Hawkins, Javion Hawkins, watch highlights of him in college. Just a smaller kind of back, but that's what they're going to need production from is the running game, James. You're right. I agree 100%. They got Hayden Hurst at tight end with Kyle Pitts and Lee Smith. Aiden Hurst and Lee Smith, both brilliant blocking tight ends. And then you can sort of move Kyle Pitts around then. Gives you that option. Calvin Ridley to step up. Now that he's on, Calvin Ridley has to step up. That's a big one. And Russell Gage as well. But, defense then. That's going to be the question, is the D. And see if Matty Ice can get something going on offense. But not really expecting much out of him this season. But just seeing how these young guns perform and if they can get some. You know, Grady Jarrett has seemed to be the guy on our defense for such a long time. Grady Jarrett needs some help. I think that's the main thing. AJ Terrell is there as a corner. He's highly touted. But let's see what he's got, you know. Let's see if they can play.
So, Sirius, I'm going to pass this over to you. I'm going to ask you first what you think about them as a whole, but the other question I would really like to ask you is, do you think they now regret the Kyle Pitts selection over, like, a Ja'Marr Chase now that they did make the trade for Julio Jones? He kind of, like, secretly asked for a trade through his agent, things like that. Do you think that if they had full knowledge of that prior to the draft, that they would have, you know, made that pick of Ja'Marr Chase instead?
So I'm going to answer that question, and I'm going to go back and talk about what they've done this offseason. My answer to that question is no, because I have a hard time believing that this whole Julio Jones thing happened in a vacuum. Like, Julio Jones has somewhat voiced his frustration with the Atlanta Falcons for quite some time now. And if you just want to talk about what took place after their season ended, Julio Jones has been pretty vocal, and the writing has pretty much been on the wall that he has wanted out. So if the Atlanta Falcons wanted to move, you know, on into a Ja'Marr Chase or another wide receiver type, I think they would have done that. They've also were linked to potentially drafting a quarterback. You know, we were sitting here on this very network talking about how Justin Fields will look really nice in Atlanta, how, you know, Matt Jones will look really good in Atlanta, you know, with that assortment of wide receivers and whatever the case may be. So I think the Atlanta Falcons made their selection with the understanding that Kyle Pitts is a generational talent, and I think that they're going to be able to play him inside, put him outside, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do with Gronk in his prime, create matchup nightmares for defenses and linebackers and second corners. I think the biggest issue at hand Again, you know, picking up what you, you know, the first part of the question, I think the biggest issue at hand is going to be what they do offensively. You know, for the longest time, this has been a Julio Jones, Matt Ryan-led situation. And, you know, Calvin Ridley is great in his own right, but, you know, is he ready to step into that number one type of status? Is he ready to step up and be the number one wide receiver? You know, as you both very well are aware, I am a Steelers fan. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, when Antonio Brown was in Pittsburgh, Juju was that dude. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he was able to feast on second-tier cornerbacks, and he would get the third cornerbacks and this, that, and the third. Since Antonio Brown left, Juju's numbers have declined. As a matter of fact, over the past 3 years, he is yet to post a 1,000-yard receiving season. A lot of that has to do with injury. A lot of it has to do with, you know, a lot of different factors. But also, we have to give credit where credit is due. Antonio Brown demanded the double team, and he demanded a lot of attention. Julio Jones is on that same level. He demanded a lot of attention. He demanded a lot of double team, and because of that, others were able to eat. So the question we have to ask ourselves going into the season is, Calvin Ridley going to be that dude? Are the Atlanta Falcons going to be able to generate a legitimate running game to back defenses, you know, back defenses up, to bring defenses down into the box where you're able to get those one-on-one matchups, where you're able to sit there and play with your new toys and you know, take your, you know, Calvin Pitts out for a test drive? That's offensively. Second of all, coaching-wise, the Atlanta Falcons are literally a team that is 5 and some change minutes away from being, you know, a 13-win team, because they tend to lose games late. They are the Detroit Lions of, you know, that division, if you will, because they tend to lose games late. You know, they can't hold the lead. A lot of that has to do with their defense, like Roger alluded to. But again, if you can't sustain a lead, if you're getting beat at the buzzer, you know, that has a negative impact on your record and everything else. I do like the additions on the defense side of the football. One in particular that I'm not sure you guys mentioned was a Sharif Miller, linebacker out of Penn State. Now, again, I'm a Penn State fan. I know this guy quite well. Should he stay healthy, I think he's going to be able to come in there and play significant minutes for them and at least bolster their defense of outlook. But ultimately, you know, this is an offensive team. They haven't looked good since they blew that lead against the Patriots. This is a 2.5-3 year hangover. It's time to drink some juice, get the stomach right, and get back up and try again, because this is ridiculous.
I mean, there's definitely a possibility that we see him hit the field as well, just because of how bad the entirety of that defense has been this entire last season. So I think we want to move on to the Carolina Panthers, and they automatically get an F-minus off-season grade from yours truly, because they traded the best quarterback in the league, Teddy Bridgewater, to to the Denver Broncos for a 6th-round pick, and then inexplicably trade for Sam Darnold for a 3rd-round pick. They traded for a downgrade at the quarterback position, and I'm not being facetious about that. The best quarterback in the NFL thing was tongue-in-cheek, but legitimately, they traded down 3 rounds for a downgrade at quarterback. I don't know what they were thinking in that sense, but draft wise, I think is where they came back in spades. J.C. Horn, getting that at pick 108, probably one of the better man corners, more of a physical kind of guy. I think that it's reasonable to think that he was better than Patrick Surtain. And in this division with a lot of passing teams, not so much the Saints anymore, but it's definitely something that that I think he's going to be more of a shutdown corner than the other two top corners in this draft class. Terrence Marshall going in round two, he was kind of that one guy that was that everybody kind of expected to sneak into the back end of round one. I still think he's probably a starting caliber wide receiver. Getting him in round two was pretty good. And then Brady Christensen, the big problem that we saw with the Carolina Panthers at the back half of the season was the missing of Russell Okung. That's not going to be as much of a problem anymore when they bring Brady Christensen into the mold that way. Another guy I want to kind of talk about a little bit further down the line is Chuba Hubbard, the running back from Ohio State. Or Ohio State, he's from Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State. So the other thing that knocked down the Carolina Panthers from a respectable team to a 5'11 team was losing their absolute best player in Christian McCaffrey. And Chuba Hubbard is going to turn into that Mike Davis role, I feel, kind of be that backup guy. So I think all in all, outside of the quarterback decision, I think that they made a lot of good decisions draft-wise. A.J. Bouye came in from free agency, and Hassan Reddick was a big signing for them as well, coming from the Arizona Cardinals. I could easily see that paying high dividends for them later. Sirius, I'm going to let you go first on this one. What do you think about the Panthers in their offseason? And if there's anything I missed, feel free to add that too.
You know, honestly, I'm actually intrigued with the Carolina Panthers in their offseason this year. I do like, you know, J.C. Horn coming in there. They also made some other moves. They signed former Ohio State wide receiver C.J. Sanders. Frank Horn is back in the fold. They agreed to terms with Terrence Marshall Jr. You know, so the Panthers have been significantly busy this offseason. But obviously, you know, the acquisition of Sam Darnold is going to be, in my opinion, where this is kind of, you know, rising and falling, because I do believe that they have been a quarterback away for a significant point of time. You know, so the injuries are going to be what it was. You know, Christian McCaffrey went down last year, but this is year, I think year two under Matt Rhule, I believe, or maybe year three, I'm not too sure. But you know, it's about time for him to make some hay here, and make some moves. So I think the Panthers are going to be, you know, significantly better. I do also think that again the health of Christian McCaffrey is going to really pay dividends. You know, they lost, you know, Curtis Samuel. He's actually up the street from me here in D.C. Playing with the Washington football team now. So there are going to be some balls to go around. There's going to be some shoes to fill. And when you're in the division with the defending champions, I think that you really are going to have your head on the swivel. I will say this. I'm not making no bulletin board material, but I do think that the Carolina Panthers will be second in this division.
Interesting. Rodri, what is your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers and their offseason?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting now with Drew Brees out of New Orleans. Yes, so that's not a bad shot. I love what they're doing. Matt Rhule's come from the college game, and he's sort of enjoying it. Like he's completely doing a good job. The little moves that they're doing, I've been noticing, Dan Morgan, former linebacker, is an assistant general manager. They're moving him into the decision-making role. David Tepper, the owner, knows what he's doing. He's given opportunities to people around the Carolina Panther family, and I think it's helping Matt Rhule do his job. Joe Brady, we know, coached LSU offense. He's there as an offensive coordinator. And Phil Snow is a defensive coordinator. The coaching is looking good. I mean, they know names. They know Tony Sperano is kind of an assistant offensive lineman and stuff like that. So they got some old heads, new heads. Chase Blackburn, the old Giants linebacker, there is a special teams coordinator. Look, their draft was fantastic. I mean, you can't. You know, you look at the players as individuals. They're all good character, tough kids. Brady Christensen was a great pick from BYU. James, we talked about him before. And you just look at the players that they brought in. Deontay Brown, they managed to get late as a guard. I mean, that's an Alabama guard they got, you know, just before 200 in the sixth round. Mason Stock, a fullback from Wisconsin, was going to lead the way. Yes, Christian McCaffrey, 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving a couple years ago, got injured. Definitely needed Chuba Hubbard, right? Chuba Hubbard, that's all I use. Chuba Hubbard sounds a lot better, so I'm going to go with that from now on, James. but he's definitely going to give him a lot of rest, and that's what he needs. They bring in a Paddy Fisher. They brought in Clay Johnson from the Rams last year. You saw Clay Johnson on Hard Knocks. That's the kind of guys they got, and I think they got them now throughout the roster. Another great signing, Pat Elflein, at center. He's great for them. Last year, I think he's going to help Sam Darnold so much. I know they got PJ Walker and Will Greer still on the roster from last year and the year before. So, you know, Spencer Brown, UAB running back, another one who can sort of challenge and be helpful with Chuba Hubbard or Chuba Hubbard and Christian McCaffrey. So they're going to have a running game. For me, it's going to come to the passing game. They lose Chris Samuel to Washington. He's in D.C. So, you know, how are they going to react? And I find it hard. I mean, Robbie Anderson to me is just Temple tough. Played for Matt Rhule at Temple. He shows up every Sunday. He's such a good player. He has no business making the plays he makes because of his physical ability, but he's 6'3", 119. He's done it for the Jets, and now he's doing it for Carolina. He's great for them. And I think Terrence Marshall as well, add him in from LSU. Joe Brady knows him well, so he's gonna have Terrence Marshall's number. And DJ Moore, David Moore, CJ Sanders, who you mentioned, they're going to have their chance as well. And Shai Smith is another kid from South Carolina who they drafted late. So, yeah, offense is there. But I think it's the trenches is where they really help themselves, boys, I think. And, you know, Jeremy Chinn is a player that I'm looking at for them to make some plays because he was everywhere last year as a rookie. If they can find a place for him, I think they can do a lot on defense. And Denzel Perryman as well, who's in a good situation there now, got players around him. And but Jeremy Chinn is special. I think he's gonna be a good one. Do they just gotta find a place for him? And if they can find a role for him in that defense, like a Troy Polamalu type of thing. I'm not saying he's serious, but I'm not saying that, bro. I promise. But if he can find any kind of that form, then it can help him. They got the corners around him. Let him roam a little bit, you know. Let him drop back. Let him come up and play the run, and let him just roam around the field. I think he's going to be a great player for them. One to watch. Might put a little bet on him to win Defensive Player of the Year, just to see, you know, just watching how they used him last year. I think he could be one to keep an eye on this year as well. But yeah, a lot of hope for him. A lot of hope for Carolina.
And just a brief aside before we move on to the New Orleans Saints, I really wonder how Kawan Short hasn't been signed by anybody yet. He was really good as a defensive tackle for the Carolina Panthers, got released for financial reasons. All of a sudden, he's just out there and unsigned. Just kind of strange. But moving on to the now rebuilding New Orleans Saints, the headline is, of course, Drew Brees no longer with the Saints. which means it's Taysom Hill's time to be the starter. They also re-signed Winston, so that's going to be an interesting dynamic going into training camp. You have to assume, based off the money that they paid Taysom Hill, that they're going to give him the start, but I don't have high hopes for that as a short, medium, or long-term solution. As far as what we saw from their free agency signings, they obviously did not do all that much because of their cap situation. They were able to franchise Marcus Williams and re-sign Sheldon Rankins at defensive tackle. Everybody else that was a free agent for them, other than Jameis Winston, pretty much found their way off the team one way or another. So this is the rebuilding time now that Drew Brees is now officially off the team. As far as the draft, they drafted Peyton Turner, the defensive end from Houston. I thought it was a bit of a reach there at 28. There were some people who had him as a first-round pick. I didn't. I had him closer to a mid-late second to a third-round pick, so not an egregious reach. I don't think he would have gotten back them in round two, but I'm kind of surprised he went that early. Pete Werner, linebacker from Ohio State, ended up there as well in round two. And that's pretty much it for the Saints. I mean, this is obviously a rebuilding year. I would not be surprised if they are a top five pick in the NFL draft, even with arguably one of the better coaches in the NFL. This could all change with a change at quarterback. Like if, for example, a Deshaun Watson or an Aaron Rodgers ended up in New Orleans somehow, then that completely flips the script. But for right now, I think New Orleans is It's gonna be a long time before they see 12-4 again. Rodri, what do you think about the New Orleans Saints and what they did this offseason?
Yes, I respect. I don't think they are in a rebuilding mode. I think they're switching the quarterback. That's all they're doing, really. I mean, the roster talent is still there. The offensive line is still there. It's gonna come down to me. It's gonna come down to the performance of one player, and that's Alvin Kamara. I think he's going to be leaned upon a bit more, a lot more, in fact. But Michael Thomas is still there. They got players still there. Can Jameis Winston find them? I think Jameis Winston is the day one starter. I think Taysom Hill is going to remain in his role. Yes, if Winston goes down, then Taysom Hill. But like at the end of last year, Drew Brees was looking at Jameis Winston and said to him, you can read his lips, saying it's your team. I think that's the plan going forward. If he throws 30 interceptions, then it's not going to be good. But I just don't think he's going to do it in this offense. I think it's going to be new to him. The defense is still there. I mean, the guys they had when they had success, they're all still there. So I mean, it's going to come down to Jameis. But I'm saying that, then you know it's tough to see. But I think they're going to be all right. I mean, Sean Payton can coach. He's going to have him playing. And Pete Carmichael, offensive coordinator, their old Lombardi's is gone from him. Now he's with Justin Herbert. I think he's going to be bringing this New Orleans Saints to the LA Chargers, and I think he's going to have them playing down there, so they're going to miss him a little bit. I mean, Drew Brees is gone, so his coach Lombardi's gone, but yep, here we go. So Pete Carmichael, Dennis Allen still is DC, defensive coordinator. Look, as long as that offensive line blocks and Alvin Kamara runs, they're always going to have a shot to win the game, I think. And it's Alvin Kamara. They're going to have to lean on him so much. Well, and let's be honest, I mean, Drew Brees wasn't playing at a great standard at the end of last year. I mean, he's short. He was never that deep threat. And then it's things that Jameis can do that Drew couldn't. But also, Drew Brees is just such a better, you know, more accuracy is better than Jameis. Yes, it is. But look, the guys like Ryan Ramczyk, Terran Armstead, you know, Ruiz, all these guys are still there. That now Cameron Jordan's still there. They got better linebackers. I think the corners are, yeah, all corners are still there. Marshall Lattimore's still there. You know, Marcus Williams is there. I did like Pete Warner. He played at Ohio State as a linebacker. I thought that was a great draft pick. Peyton Turner, as I said, went early. Paulson Adebo, who they got at 76, is there. So, you know, I think the roster talent is still there. I don't think they're rebuilding. But it's going to come down to Jameis, and they're going to have to lean on Alvin Kamara. But it's going to be close. Like the three teams that we just mentioned, they'll be challenging the Bucs. And I think either Carolina or New Orleans got a chance, and I don't know which one. But I'm not holding my breath. But I think New Orleans are going to be all right. I don't think we're going to see such a big drop off yet. And I disagree that they are rebuilding, but we'll agree to disagree.
All right, serious. I mean, Jameis did get that LASIK eye surgery, so his accuracy will be on point next season. What do you think about the New Orleans Saints off season?
You know, honestly, man, I disagree with, you know, Rodri's assessment here. I do believe that the New Orleans Saints are in a position now where they are going to be rebuilding, so to speak. And, you know, and the reason why I say that is because a lot of different things tend to rest on the arm of a Drew Brees. you know, Jameis Winston has shown us what he's been able to accomplish as a quarterback in this league, and we've got the opportunity to see a Taysom Hill lead the ship and lead the team. And quite frankly, it was a, you know, watered down version of who this team was. So with that being said, I don't believe that this Saints team is really going to do too much of anything. You know, I will say this. Alvin Kamara has an opportunity here to really solidify his gangster, if you will. you know, Michael Thomas is the king of, you know, 5-7 yard slants and, you know, drag routes. I wonder what ever happened if he, you know, went down the field significantly more. You know, now granted, you know, Drew Brees, you know, made his bread butter that way, and there are other free agents that were brought in and other things that need to happen. But honestly, for me, and I said this, you know, last segment, I think the Carolina Panthers take a significantly giant step forward and sit behind mm-hmm. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the number two team in this division. So in order for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to sit one and the Carolina Panthers to sit two, that means the New Orleans Saints will have to take a step back. And I honestly think that's what's going to happen with them. You know, you can't replace a Hall of Famer in Drew Brees. You can't replace that. You know, Winston has been in this league for a significant amount of years, but he has yet, in my opinion, to play significant minutes. You know, this is a guy who last time he was the starter consistently threw for 30 and 30. It's not a good look when your quarterback throws 30 touchdowns and 30 picks. I don't care if you got LASIK eye surgery or not. That's on film. You are what your player card says you are. You are what your game film says you are until you show me differently. So with that being said, you know, we can revisit the New Orleans Saints as the season progresses. I'm sure we will, but as we currently sit here on June 21st, the New Orleans Saints are going to be a problem for me.
I just hope LASIK eye surgery has done something with the sponsorship, because if he plays well, they're going to make a lot of money. If he plays bad, they're going to lose a lot of money. Yeah,
so,
what happened though when Teddy Bridgewater came in and played behind this team, and it's the exact team they had. What happened when Taysom Hill come in and played on this team? They won. They kept winning. So I just don't see.
The thing with that is Teddy Bridgewater. Now again, you gonna have me praising Teddy Bridgewater with the Teddy Bridgewater mayor and president of fan club sitting here. But that being said, Teddy Bridgewater can actually play the quarterback position. You know what I'm saying? He is a guy who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't push the ball down the field a lot. And as long as he doesn't beat you, the Saints can win. The problem with, you know, Jameis Winston is he really believes that his arm is going to, you know, win the day. He wants to out-throw people. He wants to try to fit passes into tight windows. And you can't do that in this league. On the flip side, Taysom Hill refuses to throw the football. He's a white glorified version of Lamar Jackson, if you will. He'll read out to you all day. He'll stick his nose in there and pick up a yard or two or whatever the case may be. But if you want him to sit back, read a defense, throw the ball down the field consistently and not come in for, you know, a play or two gadget-wise where you're, you know, tricking the defense and, you know, whatever the case may be, I want you to make a throw on third and 11 to move the sticks. I want you to throw a seven comeback route with timing, with accuracy. To move the sticks and not, you know, on first and 10 when you're running a flea flicker, you know, to catch a defense napping. That's not playing quarterback. That's not reading a defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's seeing a one-on-one matchup and just throwing as far as you can get and hoping your guy runs under it and catches it. We can do that. Hell, I mean, if that's all you need to do to play quarterback in the NFL, I'm going up to D.C. now, signing up, give me a W on the side of my helmet. Fitzpatrick, your days are over. You know what I'm saying? But there's more to playing the position than that. And so based off of what I've seen from Taysom Hill, I just don't think he's going to be able to do that on a consistent basis. Now, again, I don't mind being wrong. But, again, you are what your player card said you are. And as of right now, that's what their player card is telling me.
Yeah, I just think they got something invented great for him on our offense. I mean, they got a package for him, and he plays it so well. Like you said, CS, he's like a running back playing quarterback. He is, and that's what he is. That's his job, you know, but he can also play tight end. If Jameis could come in and play that, then it's looking good for him. Because I'm just looking at the roster. There's no one player they missing from last year. The roster's still intact. It's just the quarterback position. In fact, they were almost better than they were last year. They got Adam Troutman's coming back. You didn't know. There's some good players. But we know it's Jameis. It's all on Jameis. It is.
All right. So I think it's time to move on to the defending Super Bowl champion. First of all, I do want to say it felt really nice to hear my friend Sirius here talk so glowingly about Teddy Bridgewater.
Stop it now.
But so the big story when it comes to
there's a good story about Bridgewater actually. I could tell the last game of the season before he left, he needed I think it was 10 plays to make his roster bonus. I think it was like just over $1 million. And they were blowing out the team. And they kept Drew Brees in for the whole second half, even though that they were going to the playoffs. They should have brought Teddy in, but they didn't bring him in, and they didn't allow him to have his roster bonus. I just thought that was disgusting. I thought it really was bad way to. He's been so unlucky in the league as well. You can't help but love Teddy Bridgewater. I hope he's so successful in Denver. But anyway, I'm a member of the fan club as well, Mr. Chairman.
So the big thing that comes to mind when I think about the New Orleans Saints is that they didn't lose anybody. Like, none of their major guys left.
Tampa Bay now or New Orleans?
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has not lost any major pieces from there. And we are going to go a little bit into overtime. If you want to hear about us, hear our takes on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, feel free to either call in now or re-listen to the post-show broadcast, and all that goodness will be there afterwards. But the only players I can think of that they lost, LeSean McCoy, they signed to a one-year deal. He's gone, 33-year-old running back. Nobody really cares. They lost A.Q. Shipley, and every single other player that they had set for free agency this year was brought back. Chris Godwin was brought back. Levante David was brought back. Shaq Barrett was brought back. And Ndamukong Suh was brought back. Rob Gronkowski was brought back. Leonard Fournette was brought back. And Ryan Suckup was brought back. These were guys that were slated to be free agents. And this is like an absurd rarity when we are talking about defending Super Bowl champions. Usually what we see when the Super Bowl champions see a lot of guys going in free agency, every single one of those guys goes out and gets their bank, makes their money on some other team. But this is a very different scenario, and it's probably because they believe they can win again. They really believe that they can win again if they run it back, and then they're going to be two-time Super Bowl champions, and then they're going to really cash in. As far as that's it for their free agency. They just re-sign their own guys, and that's it. A few guys I want to talk about draft-wise. Joe Tryon, defensive end from Washington, was their first-round pick at pick 32. Really high upside. Right now, what we're looking for is a lot of high upside guys for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, guys who can potentially take one of these guys' spots next year. Kyle Trask is who they took in round two, which is really interesting with the fact that Tom Brady cannot play forever. This is a fact. He will die of old age soon, even though he appears to be a robot. But Kyle Trask was one of those guys in that, like, definite third-tier quarterback situation. He's not going to be anything special, but he might be able to start for a few years while they're trying to figure that out afterwards. And one guy that I've been really high on during this offseason process was Jalen Darden, the wide receiver from North Texas. He's a very quick, jitter step kind of guy who makes a lot of people miss. I think he's a legitimate sleeper and a guy who probably won't see the field much outside of kick returns this season, but look out for him next season when Godwin does go back out to free agency after his one-year tender goes away. I think that he could be a legitimate starting caliber player for this team. And another guy, Grant Stewart, a guy I thought was going to be more of a fifth or sixth round pick, ended up getting selected in the seventh round for them. I thought that was a great pick for them as well. Sirius, I'm going to let you go first. Tampa Bay Buccaneers running it back. What are your thoughts?
You know, honestly, man, I'm not going to put the 16 or 17 to no type thing on them. That's just going to be a lot of pressure on top of defending the Super Bowl championship. But, you know, when you have retained all 22 starters from both offense and defense, coming off a championship team and championship run, looking at, you know, their opponents and their schedule, which I'm sure we'll do a prediction show and things of that nature as we get closer to that time, I have a hard time locating a loss or more than two losses, you know, barring any catastrophic injury. This is a team that, you know, seemed to strike lightning in a bottle. And I'm not even really, you know, going in the off-season moves. I mean, they resigned everybody they needed to resign. They figured out a way to get it done, whether, you know, Tom Brady took a pay cut like he normally does, or whether these guys are on an emotional high from winning a ring and, you know, decided to, you know, come back on the cheap or whatever the case may be. Hell, Antonio Brown resigned, you know, for the cheap. And, you know, so he's getting a full off season with the organization and training camp. And, you know, he's coming off of, you know, one of his, you know, subpar years. But a lot of that had to do with the simple fact that he wasn't able to be with the team due to him serving a suspension and going through what he had to go through and all that sort of stuff. So he's in the building. The surgery has been done, you know, for I think it was Godwin who had the whole finger thing. So, I mean, honestly, for me, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, waste a lot of time talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because, in my opinion, they checked all the boxes and they still got that dude named Brady slinging that rock. So I do like the fact that they did go out and pick up the quarterback from Florida. I thought he would have gone significantly sooner, but so they do have a quarterback in waiting. You know, salute to them, man. You know, anybody but Baltimore, and I am happy. Or Dallas. Dallas can't win either.
All right. Rodri, what is your thoughts on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and their offseason?
Well, you know, I just told about the Glazers. I mean, they are not too popular in Manchester right now with the Manchester United supporters. So I'm glad they're having some success with the team. But you know, I look at this coaching staff, right? And there's head coaches in the assistant roles. You know, Brian Leftwich has done a great job since playing. I think he's going to be a coach one day. You know, the Bruce Arians, obviously Keith Armstrong is there. I mean, just a great, great group of coaches that they managed to put together. And I think, you know, AK Shipley now is a coach there. Todd Bowles, former head coach. One of Sirius's old players, Larry Foote, there. Clyde Christensen, Mike Caldwell, you know, is a coach there. And they got, you know, they also bring in female coaches along. Laurie Locus is a great coach. Cody Grimm, son of Russ Grimm. It's like so many just talented coaches there. And Hal Goodwin's another one. I mean, they've got a setup there. And I think those coaches are bringing these rookies in. Look at the way Tristan Wirfs played last year, right? The tackle. He was outstanding for him, a tackle last year. I think he allowed a sack all year. And then Antoine Winfield Jr., son of the great Antoine Winfield, played so well as a rookie. And I think it just goes to show the experience they got around them to allow them to play like that last year. But for me, Devin White and Lavonte David, both of them, behind and Damian Sue, when Vitor Vea come back, he was dominant. Go back to that night in Chicago, right? And Brady's on fourth down and he doesn't realize he's on fourth down. Everybody's like, nah, this team's not for real. You know, Brady's getting old again. We'll see that again this year, I think, at some point. And then we'll just see Brady come out and totally trash everybody's opinion like he always does. He does it every single year, and people just can't seem to learn from it. He's got Alex Carter back. Ali Marpe is back. You know, he's got his tackles back. He's got his center, Johnson, back. So he's got his protection. And then he's got three of the best tight ends in the league on the same team. I mean, you know, it's Cameron Brate, it's O.J. Howard, and it's Rob Gronkowski. I mean, those three, what they do to protect him. Blaine Gabbert is still playing. You know, Blaine Gabbert's in his 11th season. He's only 31 years of age. I still think Blaine Gabbert can play in this league. I'll be honest with you. He was with Jacksonville. I know he stunk the place up a lot of times, but I still think he can play. And then they got Ryan Griffin, and they got Kyle Trask now. So, I mean, there's four cornerbacks learning behind Brady. Leonard Fournette was brilliant at times last year. Rojo, Ronald Jones was running them in from 100 yards last year at one point. So fast, Keyshawn Vaughn is a running back there. He's like CJ Procise can play, Notre Dame. I mean, he's loaded, absolutely loaded. And that's another, like, the biggest talent they got is their receivers. Mike Evans, I mean, Antonio Brown, is it Darden? James, you've been talking about all offseason. I like Darden as well, North Texas. quick. But, like, I looked at a player last year coming in, Tyler Johnson from Minnesota, played up there with Bateman on the other side. I thought Tyler Johnson was standing. I thought whoever gets him, he's going to be starting. But he came in last year and played some outstanding, run some outstanding routes and scored some great touchdowns. And Scotty Miller as well, you know, just in the slot. They're absolutely loaded. It's there, and Brady's just back there, and he's absolutely in his oils. When they cook in, it's great to see. But I don't think they're as good as Kansas City this year. I think Kansas City have overhauled, got that offensive line intact, and I think Kansas City are a better team right now. So, but I can see a repeat Super Bowl just based on talent. I mean, can't fault the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what they've managed to do. What are they going to do in 2 years' time? No, that's going to be a problem. Because they are putting everything into now by the looks of it. But can't fault them for what they're doing. They're looking to win, and there's no reason why they can't go and win it all again this year. I mean, you're just looking where they left off last season. Can't see them slowing down. Player I like that they got it. They brought in on the offensive line just for a bit of... I think he actually could compete for a guard spot is Robert Hainsey from Notre Dame. Liked him a couple of years ago, but... Traffic, hearing good things about him is all, and I think he's going to play. But for me, and I left him to last, I have mentioned him already, but Devin White, for me, was the MVP, defensive MVP of the playoffs last year. I thought he was a key player for them, and almost had Super Bowl MVP. He was that good in the Super Bowl as well. But he's just getting better as well. I mean, he's only going to get better and better, and Todd Bowles knows exactly how to use him. And with Vita Vea in front of him, then sure, sky's the limit. It is absolutely limit. They're going to be great again.
And that is somebody who should get a head coaching position again sooner rather than later. Todd Bowles, I think that he had kind of a bad rap when he was with the New York Jets because nobody's going to win with that team. But that wraps up the show for today. Next week, I believe we are talking about the AFC North, I believe, correct? So hopefully we can have Sirius back on for a little discussion about that particular division. Aaron, it's great to have you on as always. Give us a final shout out before we close down the kitchen for good.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius repping out 412 and a 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on a special edition of the NFL show, man. Appreciate what you guys are doing. You know, you guys are holding down, you know, repping, you know, doing what we got to do on this side of town, man. So thank you for doing that. Definitely check us out on www.sportscityshots.com. We got blogs. We got merchandise. I'm actually in the middle of writing a blog NFL-wise, you know, for the network now. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to come out this week. I'm excited about the number. Drop the top five defensive players that are going to have to make an impact in 2021. I did the offensive side. I'm doing the defensive side. I'm going to write that and get that out to you guys this week. So I'm excited about that. Definitely, again, if merchandise is coming out. We're looking at trying to do something else here. So definitely, you know, tell your friends, check out your sets again. James, man, it's a pleasure, man. Rodri, man, go get some sleep, bro. Good talking to you guys.
Okay, bro.
Have a good one. Rodri, the floor is yours. Give us a final shout before we close it down.
Yeah, just to echo what Sega said, I know Barry just put a nice little column on about camp no-shows, so players not showing up to training camp. Yeah, get on a website, read into it, some good stuff from Barry Jordan. TP lost a close friend yesterday, wasn't himself on the show, so thoughts are with TP right now. James, fantastic job. Leading us out tonight and bringing us home, and the next one, we'll try to get some writing on myself. Got a few ideas I wanna run over the boys, but let's pick up from where we left off tonight on our next show, and always a pleasure, brother. Have a good one.
All right. Till next time. Tell a friend and tell a friend. Later.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City.